So I started to learn the parish of Kisiso. So, you know, Kisiso is like probably the most significant parish in the Torah, because it's the parish that contains the story of the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is the golden calf, which remains with us, right, in our history, and the story of Am Yisrael in the Torah. The event that is most overwhelming in its negativity is the Chet HaEgel. But before the Chet HaEgel, right before the story of the Chet HaEgel, is the command to build a kiyor. A kiyor in English is, they always say, a laver. I haven't got a slightest idea what a laver is. But it's like a big glass, like a cup, like this big. What?
You're washing it, lave.
A laver, you wash, right? Yeah, I guess.
There's a picture on the episode.
So in any event, the Torah tells us about building a kiyor. A kiyor is something that existed in the Mishkan, right? In the Mishkan in the desert. For some reason, it appears in the parasha of Ki Tisa, even though the Kelim of the Mishkan appear in the parasha first in Truma and then in Pekudei. Just to remind you, the last five parashiyot in the book of Shemot are Truma Tetzaveh, Ki Tisa, Vayakel Pekudei. Now it's important to remember that Truma, the parasha of Truma, is the parasha of the Klei HaMishkan, the various vessels that were in the Mishkan, starting from like the Aron and the Menorah, right? That's Truma. And Tetzaveh is the parasha of the Bigdei Kehuna. Now these two parashiyot are repeated in the Torah, actually repeated, the parashiyot, except that they are reversed at the end of the Sefer, right? Vayakel Pekudei. Vayakel is the parasha of Bigdei Kehuna, and Pekudei is the parasha of the Klei HaMishkan, the vessels that were used in the Mishkan. Now in between these two sets of parashiyot, Truma Tetzaveh and Vayakel Pekudei, is the parasha of Ki Tisa, this week's parasha. Now this, the parasha of Ki Tisa, contains many things, but probably the most significant of them is the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, which we've spoken about over the years in different ways. One of the apparently less significant things in the parasha is the command to build a kiyor. To build a kiyor. And the kiyor, if you look in the psukim, you look in the pasuk, where are the psukim? The psukim are on the reverse or obverse of the page. Shmot Perek Lamed. You see, it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Vasita Kiyor Nechoshet. Nechoshet is what? Copper. Copper is something that comes out of the ground, right? You know, you could. It's like a metal. You can beat it. You can shape it. It's not so hard. Not really very hard, but it's something that's malleable. So a kiyor nechoshet means you use nechoshet to build the kiyor. Now the kiyor, the dimensions of this kiyor do not exist in the Torah. Unlike the Aron and the Menorah and the Mizbeach, the dimensions are part of the description. The Kiyor, there are no dimensions. All it says is, Vasita Kiyor Nechoshet. Make the Kiyor out of Nechoshet. V'chano Nechoshet L'rachtza. La'chano is the base of it. Like if it's round, like a cup, If it's like a cup. Now, you have to understand all these picture books that tell you what all these things look like are themselves imagined. They're not pictures of what it really looked like. They're pictures that that somebody just thought of. So usually the picture of the kiyor is that it's like a large soup tureen, you know, round. But since it's round, it won't stand. It needs a base. And that's kano. That's because you put this round thing into the base and it stands. And not only that, v'kano nechoshet lirachatza, the purpose of this is water to wash with. V'natata ota ben oel mo'ed uvein ha-mizbeach. So you know, oel mo'ed is an enclosed part. The oel mo'ed is enclosed. And the oel mo'ed itself, or what's called in the Beit HaMikdash, Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim. Right? It's like a rectangular building, two-thirds of which are the Kodesh, and the back third is Kodesh Kodashim, and they're separated by a curtain, the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. The Kodesh has the menorah in it, and the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach for the Ketoret, for the sacrifice of the spices, right? Incense, right? And the one third is where the Aron Kodesh was. Right? There was an Aron Kodesh. We speak about four. There were four periods of the Beit HaMikdash. There was Mishkan, right? Bayit Rishon was built by David and Shlomo. Bayit Sheni, that was built by Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, you know, the people who came back, who led the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. And then there's the Bayit Shlishi that has not yet been built, which is described in the book of Yechezkel. Several chapters of Yechezkel describe the Beit HaMikdash to be, to become. So again, there are four Batei Mikdash. You could talk about the Beit Mikdash. There's the Mishkan in the desert, Bayit Rishon, that's David and Shlomo, Bayit Sheni, Ezra and Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and Bayit Shlishi, which is the imaginings of Yechezkel HaNavi. He was in Babel, but he spoke about the return to Eretz Yisrael and the building of the Beit HaMikdash after, it's considered to be the Beit HaMikdash after the Galut, which still exists, right? Pasuk Yutet, V'rachatzu Aron u'banav mimenu et yideihem v'et raglehem, that Aron u'banav, when they come to do the Avodah, in whatever Avodah they're doing in the Beit HaMikdash, they have to wash their hands and feet first. So this kiyor, when it was built in the Mishkan, had two spigots. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Yeah, a spigot. It like you turned it and water came out. And the way the Gemara Numa says, the way that they washed was the right hand, you grabbed your right foot, and then you picked it up. If you know, Kohanim didn't work after the age of 60. So I don't have to do this. But if I could do it, you would stand on one foot and raise the other foot with your hand, and then let the water pour on that. You cleaned off your hand and your foot at the same time. That's what the Gemara said. Et yideihem v'et raglehem, pasuk kav, bevo'am el ol mo'ed yichatzu mayim v'lo yamutu. Right, this is an obligation, keeps them alive. O begishtam el ha-mizbech l'sharet, laktir ishel Hashem, whenever they go to serve on the Mizbeach to aid in bringing a korban. They have to wash their hands and feet. And this is the this is the story of the kiyor. Now Rashi adds a few words of explanation. This is all in the beginning of the parasha of Ki Tisa. Remember, Ki Tisa, which is primarily the parasha that concerns Egel HaZahav, also talks about the kiyor in the beginning. And for some reason, the kiyor is not included with the other clay hamizbeach. Right, the kelim are divided into two groups, right? The kelim that you can't do without, and then they're what is called kli sharet, helping kelim. Like in order to bring the incense from one place to another, you need a kind of shovel. So a shovel is called, but a shovel is not the main thing. The main thing is moving the ketoret from here to there. So the shovel is called a kli sharet. Now it's not clear what the category of a kiyor is. Because while the kiyor prepares the kohen to do the avodah, it's not part of the avodah itself in any way. Whereas it's not clear exactly what the status of the kiyor is. But now listen to Rashi on these psukim. Kiyor, Rashi says, k'min dud gedola. Everybody in Israel knows what a dud is. V'la dadim amirikim b'fihem mayim. And it has these spouts that water comes out of. V'chano k'targumo u'b'sisei. B'sisei k'targumo means I depend on unkelus in this matter. And Uncle says, "Bisisei, its foundation, right? The thing it sits on, the kiyor. Moshav mitukan the kiyor. That's how he says in Hebrew, a kind of a way to prop up the kiyor, to hold it up. Lerachatza musav al kiyor. The word lerachatza is connected to the kiyor." Ubein hamizbeach. What mizbeach are we talking about? We're two mizbechot in the Mishkan. Mizbach haola. Mizbach haola. That's the mizbeach that the korban tamid was given on twice every day, minimally. That happened every day, and that's the big mizbeach outside that had the keves, the ramp, that the Kohanim would run up and do whatever they had to do on the Mizbeach, which was big enough to walk around on. That's called the Mizbeach. He calls it Mizbeach HaOlah. Shekatuv shehu lifnei petach mishkan oel moed. So that Mizbeach contains two parts. It contains the Mizbeach itself, which was square, and the ramp. So the square part was in front of the entrance to the Oel Moed, right? Or later on called Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim, right? In the Mishkan, it was called the Oel Moed. Vayakiyor Moshuch Kama, a little bit pulled over. Vaomed Kineged Avir Shebena Mizbeach VaHamishkan, and it's in the space in between the altar and the that little building called Mishkan or Oel Moed, ve'eino mafsik klal beinatayim, and there's no, it doesn't take up all the space between the two, mishum she'ne'amar et mizbach ha'olah, sham petach Mishkan Oel Moed, klomar, Rashi himself explains, lifnei Oel Moed, ve'ein kiyor lifnei Oel Moed, the mizbeach is before, so it's a little off. It's not like you have the Mizbeach, the Kiyor, Oel Moed, but you have a Mizbeach and the Kiyor is a little off to the side, you know, this way, and then the Oel Moed. Okay. Rashi says we skip to Pasuk Yutet at Yideihem Bet Raglehem, Bevatachat, Hayam Mikadesh Yadav Veraglav. He would somehow clean off his hands and feet at the same time. Vekach Shanino Bizvachim. Ketzad, kiddush yadayim raglayim. How do you do it? How do you do kiddush yadayim raglaim? As we said before, minich yado yamanit al gavei raglo yamanit. He takes his right hand and puts it on his right foot. V'yado smalit al gavei raglo smalit u'mikadesh. This we know this from Avram Avinu and the angels. Remember, the angels came; they had to wash their feet. And Rashi says because you know they could tread on places that were idolatrous. And they didn't want to carry that dirt, the dirt with the idolatrous kind of remnants into the house of Avram, into the house of Avram Avinu. The last pasuk, Bivoam elo mu'ed, yuchatzu mayim velo yamutu. Yuchatzu mayim velo yamutu, Rashi says, yuchatzu mayim velo yamutu. You see velo yamutu, the last Rashi, hayim lo yuchatzu yamutu. If they don't wash, they will die. Sheba Torah ne'emra ne'emru klalot. There are general statements made in the Torah. U'mechlala v'ata shumayahein. And whenever the Torah says no, that something won't happen, you know, the opposite, it will happen. Right, so what does the Pasuk say? It says, yichatzu mayim v'lo yamutu. That's all it says. It doesn't say anything about dying. It says you, so Rashi says, no, that's what it means. That if you don't wash, the Kohanim will die. So this is the story. This is the story of the Kiyor. The mystery of the Kiyor is that there are no measurements and no size. So if you look in Malachim, where there's a description of the Kiyor that Shlomo HaMelech made in the Beit HaMikdash, right? Remember Beit HaMikdash HaRishon? The psukim say that there wasn't really a kano was changed. The kiyor was sat on 12 figures of oxen. Somebody carved out oxen and put 3 on each side, 3, 6, 9, 12. And then they rested the kiyor into that base. So that would seem to indicate that Shlomo HaMelech thought that he didn't have to imitate what the kli in the Mishkan looked like, because it doesn't have any measurements. And all it says is there has to be something to rest it on. So for some reason he made it very fancy, and he had these 12 oxen, 3 on each side, holding the kiyor, which was much bigger than the kiyor in the Mishkan. And that's because there was no measurements. There were no measurements for this kiyor. Okay? So now, the kiyor is mentioned, as I told you, again in the parsha of Pekudei. Right, Truma is parallel to Pekudei. Truma tetzave kisisa vayakel Pekudei. Truma Pekudei. The first parsha and the last parsha. Even though the kiyor is in kitisa, but all the other kelim are in Truma. So in that parasha, if you go back to the beginning of the page here, Vayaset HaKiyor Nechoshet, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, using the good offices of Bezalel and Aholiyav, right, they were his, talented associates in building the Mishkan, which see, what?
Resident artists.
Well, they worked. Resident artists work? Oh. Well, they were working. And it just goes to show, I think, that even when there's precision in the Torah, like about the Aron Kodesh, you still have to be an expert to make it. I mean, it's not like you could Google the Aron Kodesh and out it comes. If you don't know how to work with gold and wood and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to come up with anything too interesting. So the pasuk says, "Vayas," singular, even though it refers to all of them. Et akiyor nechoshet, vet kano nechoshet. Right, as it says in our parasha, Ki Tisa, do this and do that. They did it. Bimar ot hatzov ot asher tzavu petach ol moed. This is the mystery. This is the mystery pasuk. Bimar ot sounds like the modern Hebrew word mara, which means a mirror. Mara is a mirror. Tzovot, we'll leave it be. I have no idea. Then it says asher tzavu, tzavu, like a tzava is an army. An army is a collection of people. Tzavu could mean they collected together. They came together. We'll see in a minute what Rashi says. Okay? So this is a total departure. There's no other contribution to the Mishkan that is identified in this way. In the beginning of the Parashah of Trumah, it tells you the things that the Jews had to bring in order to build the Mishkan. Right? They brought the gold and silver and copper and cloth and golden thread and jewels. And all that stuff went into making the Mishkan, the Kelim of the Mishkan, and the Bigdei Kehuna. And along comes this one thing, one kli called Kiyor, which is made with marot hatzovot. Rashi, quoting the Tanchuma, says as follows. See the Rashi? Benot Yisrael ayu biyadan marot. It's a wonderful Rashi, but it's hard to understand. The women of Yisrael had mirrors. Shiro'ot b'hem k'shehem mitkashtot. The mirrors weren't made of glass, like our mirrors, but they were made of copper. You shine it up, and you get a mirror, I guess. I have never tried it, but I believe it. Va'av otam lo akvu milahavi linidvat hamishkan. And even they, these mirrors, were not prevented by the people from coming milahavi as contributions to the Mishkan. Vayamo es Moshe behere. Moshe found them disgusting. Because mirrors are the handmaiden of Yetzer Hara. Right? Why is it that the women are looking in the mirrors? Because they want to look nice. Why do they want to look nice? Okay, we all understand. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kabel. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to accept the mirrors as a contribution to building the Mishkan. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kabel. No, take them. Ki elu chavivim alai min hakol. I like them more than anything else. I guess it means more than anything else that was donated. This is the greatest donation that was given. So besides the problem of simple pshat, you have an interesting case of where Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he told the people, right at the beginning of the parasha of Vayakel, let's go build a Mishkan. That's what we have to. I just received the information I need to build a Mishkan. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu did not get it when he came to the Marot HaTzovot. I mean, like, that's a separate question, but I mean, something to think about. Eilu chavivim alai min hakol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, shal yideihem, because of these mirrors, hamidu anashim tzivaot rabot b'mitzrayim. Many progeny came to these women in Egypt. Kishahayu ba'alehem yigeim ba'avodat parech. Their husbands were worn down from the labor that was imposed upon them by Paro. Hayu holchot u'molichot lehem ma'achal u'mishteh. They would go, the women would go and bring them bread, molichot lehem, food and drink. U'machilot otam v'notlot hamar'ot. They would feed them. And they would take these mirrors. V'chol achat ro'a atzma im ba'ala b'mar'a. And they would be able to see each other in the mirror, the husbands and the wives, and the wives would kind of entice the husbands with various things that they would say. Lomar, anina emimcha. She would say, I look better than you do. Umitoch kach mevi'ot lebaleihem lidei ta'ava v'nizkakot lehem. And because, and in this way, they would encourage the husbands to have relations and mit abrot liyodotcha, and they would become pregnant and give birth there. Shneemar, and Rashi quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, tachat ha-tapuach orarticho, under the apple tree I enticed you. The Chazal say that this is a reference to the Mar'ot HaTzov'ot of Bnei Yisrael. And the Kiyor was made from them. Shehu, what is the connection between Mar'ot and Tzov'ot and the Kiyor? After all, the Kiyor is just water. So he says, Shehu lasum shalom ben ishto, that the purpose of the kiyor, one of the purposes of the kiyor was to create peace between a man and his wife. How so? Lashkot mimayim shebetocho et shekina la ba'ala v'nistira. Right, you know that there is the din of nisha sota. Right, the husband suspects her. Remember, suspects. And there are no witnesses. There are no witnesses. So the Torah says that there is this test that you can run to see if she's telling the truth or not. And the test is that she drinks the water mixed in with the parsha of Sota. And if she lives through it, you know that she's innocent. So Lashkin Shalom means taking the husband from a state of doubt, or the husband and the wife from the state of doubt that they're in, into a state of certainty. And that's Lashkin Shalom, because until the test of the Sota, the husband is really not able to kind of find any satisfaction. Right? Echikinala Babistara Te Dalecha Shehe Marot Mamash. Vite Dalecha, you should know that these are really mirrors. Share Ne'emar and the Choshra Tnuva Shivim Kikar Vayas Ba Vikiyo Vikano Lohus Kurusham. That the choshet that was brought, there was a certain amount of the choshet that was brought that was used for other things. It wasn't used for this. Klimadata shelo hayan the choshet shel kiyor mi the choshet atznufa. That the choshet that was used, the copper that was used to make the kiyor, was not the same copper that was used for other things in the Mishkan, kach doresh rabbi tanchuma. That means it's all found in the tanchuma, which we'll look at in a minute. V'chein tergem unkelus. Unkelus himself explained b'machzit neshaya, in the mirror of the women. Women used the mirror. V'hu targum shel mar'ot, whatever it is, the laws. Okay? So you have this interesting idea. There's an interesting idea that the nechoshet that was used on the... that the point of the pasuk, according to Rashi, is that mar'ot atzovot is the nechoshet that was used to make the kiyor. And the nechoshet that was used to make the kiyor was different than the rest of the nechoshet that was used in the Mishkan. And the nechoshet that was used for making the kiyor was that nechoshet. The nechoshet of the mirrors that B'nai Yisrael, that the women of B'nai Yisrael used in order to increase to increase the number of progeny that the Jews had in Mitzrayim. And you know that in Mitzrayim, Paro tried several ways to eliminate Am Yisrael. One of them was to kill all the sons. Right? To kill all the sons. And we know that just read the pasuk. It's not on the sheet, but I will read the pasuk. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. A man of the tribe of Levi went and took a woman from the tribe of Levi, and they had a son, and their son's name was Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the son of the ish mi beit Levi. And Rashi says, Vayikach et bat Levi. Vayikach. Now you know that the word Vayikach in biblical Hebrew also means to marry. Ki yikach ish isha is the way the Torah says if a man marries a woman. So here the pasuk says Vayikach et bat Levi. So Rashi says, Parusha yamimena mipnei gzerat paro. They decided not to have relations. They didn't want to have children because of the edict that Paro promulgated. And then in parentheses, but that doesn't matter, you can't see it. V'chazar ulekacha. And then he went and he remarried her. It was he divorced her because he didn't want to have any more children. And then he remarried her, v'zeh v'yelech, and that's why the pasuk starts with the word v'yelech, and he went. And he went means batzat bito. Batzat bito. He, right? He, the Beit Levi, the Ishmi Beit Levi, went in accordance with his daughter's advice. What did his daughter say? Amra lo gzeratcha kasher mishel paro. You're worse for us than Paro. Because in Paro gazar ala scharim, v'ata gam kein ala nekevot. Paro, after all, said, let's just kill the male children. But you say, let's kill the male children and the female children. There won't be anybody left. Vata im kein agadvin ala nekevot. Vechzira vasaba likachin nishniyim. And he remarried her. Vavhi nevcha liyot na'ara. And she, Yocheved, became a young girl. Right? Like Sarah was a young girl. She was also a young girl. Uvat kufla mechanah. She was 130 years old. She nolda bevoada Mitzrayim bein achomot. Okay, so Rashi explains how he knows that she was 130 years old. And even though she was 130 years old, she had a child. She became like a young girl. She became a young girl. So you see that this business of children in Mitzrayim, of having children in Mitzrayim, came up several times. First it came up with Paro, He said, if we get rid of the male children, then we'll take the females ourselves, because there won't be anybody else. There won't be any Jews for them to marry. And here, according to the Rashi that we just learned, the Jews again decided, or they didn't decide, but they were oppressed by this situation and didn't want to have children. And the women came with Marot HaTzovot, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rashi, didn't like the idea. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu was the object or the subject of Lashon Hara by Miriam and Aaron. And what was the Lashon Hara? Ki isha kuchishit lakach. What do we say? He didn't pay any attention to her. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. He lived in a different world. I mean, this is always, in the books of Musar and Machshava, right? What are the concerns is always, how do we rise above what seem to be our natural limits? Or our natural, our nature is not only superior, it's also at times animal-like. Right? And we don't, just like the animals act instinctively, they don't have a lot of daya, don't think so much about what they're doing. We find our nature, I don't mean you or me, but we find human nature to be problematic sometimes. So Moshe Rabbeinu overcame that limit. I mean, that was why Miriam and Aaron couldn't understand him. Something about Moshe Rabbeinu that they didn't understand. So Moshe Rabbeinu follows his own inclination and says to the women, we don't want those mirrors here. Get rid of those mirrors. Because they remind us of something bad. They remind us of something bad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's the difficult part. HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently was willing to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, what works for you is not what's going to work for Am Yisrael. And if you don't have anything to do with your wife, I mean, it's a hard model to follow. So I can't explain.
It's not only hard, it's
undesirable.
I mean, we don't have priests that don't...
We don't have what?
Yeah, we don't have priests like the Catholics who, don't go near women or supposedly end there. And it's not only a hard model, it's undesirable, isn't it?
I could tell you my opinion, but it's not relevant. I mean, you have all kinds of positions that are adopted. It's a difficulty. People who are, you may have heard someplace, in this kind of a talk or that kind of a lecture, right, that our interest is in Kedusha Vatara. Those are words that are like very pregnant, although not always easily understood. And let me remind you, the Ramban says in the beginning of the parasha of Kedoshim that Rashi says simply, well, what is Kedoshim to you? That you have to do what the Torah says. You do what the Torah says and you're okay. Right? If you eat kosher food, you're okay. The Ramban says that if you look carefully at the Torah, you see when it comes to eating food, there are a lot of concerns that you might have. You know, growing the food, in shechting the food, in preparing the food, in cooking the food. I mean, the Torah places a lot of limits on us, which brings him to the conclusion, which is not written in the halacha, which brings him to the conclusion that you shouldn't eat too much. Now, not eating too much is not exactly something that is prohibited, obviously, in the Torah. But that's the position of the Ramban. That's what kedoshim tiyu means. You look at the situation and you expand on it. You say, this is what the Torah meant. This is what the Torah really wants me to do. Of course, it doesn't say it, because it's probably not for everybody. It's not for everybody to be that way, but it is for the elite. So yes, it is someplace. It is someplace. That Ramban is a kind of front and center kind of a position. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you see it's recorded this way in the Rashi, and we'll see in a minute it comes from the Tanchuma, how the Tanchuma says the same thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu, and the language that's used for Moshe Rabbeinu is very strong. Right? It's very strong. He found them disgusting. I'm reading Rashi. Because they were, what was it about? What were the mirrors for? The mirrors were in order to encourage this inclination that we have, which he calls Yetzer Hara. He didn't say they were going to do anything halachically forbidden. It's like a conclusion that you could come to. It's not one that I advise or suggest. I'm just saying that you could come to such a conclusion based on what the Torah says. Let's look at the Ramban. Look at the Ramban. You see the Ramban, Atam the Midrash Hazeh, skip the first section, which is copy of Rashi, and start from Atam the Midrash Hazeh, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, line 8. Shebekol melechet ha-mishkan kiblu ha-takshitim min ha-nashim. He says, in all melechet, all this, the needs that the people had, that the builders of the Mishkan had, they accepted donations of jewelry from the women. Kidichtiv, vayavo anashim al hanashim, vayviu choch venezim vitabat vechumaz. Kumaz is a what do they call those things? A belt?
Chastity belt.
A what?
Chastity belt.
Chastity belt, good. That's a kumaz. So you say a kumaz? If Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to find something that reminded you of the Yetzer Hara, so I mean, there's the kumaz, but no one says that. They accepted it. It was part of the design. I mean, it was made with designs or something. It must be some museum in England that has this kind of stuff in it. That's more disgusting, because that's about raping women, we could say. More disgusting than Mar'ot HaTzov'ot. Aval Sham Nitarva Kol HaNidava. There's no distinction. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come out against the kumaz. He didn't come out against taking something that was a donation. Aval Shiasu Kli Miyuchad Min HaTachshit Asui L'Yetzara Lo Ya Moshe Bocher Bekach. He says, but this is different, because when they took the kumaz, the diamonds off the chastity belt, so they mixed it in with all the other jewels. And then you could not identify in a vessel, in the Mishkan, the kumaz. But this is different, because everybody looked at the kiyor, and everybody knew exactly what the kiyor was made of. And therefore it reminded you of that. He says, אבל שיעשו כלי מיוחד מן התכשיט, עשו ליצע הרע, לא היה משה מוכר בכך עד שנאמר לו, כן, מפי הגבורה, זאת הרמב"ן, mitigates, modifies, changes the way it says in Rashi. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu found it disgusting and wouldn't hear of it until God told him that's what you have to do. But here the Ramban says, right, he says, Lo ya Moshe bocher bekach. Moshe Rabbeinu would not have chosen to use the marot hatzovot ad shenemar lo kein mipi hagvura, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a direct order to use that. V'lo yadati ech yitparesh lefi zeh, asher tzav'u petach ol mo'ed. What is the meaning of those words, asher tzav'u? Right, we mentioned that at the beginning, but we have it, Rashi did not explain it. Ulai yomar she'evi'u anashim anedavah ha'hi, El Oel Moshe Shekura Oel Moed. Maybe they brought these mirrors to the Oel of Moshe, where Moshe Rabbeinu lived, which is called Oel Moed, the meeting place. And Moshe Rabbeinu accepted their offer of Marot HaTzovot, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Ki Oel HaMishkan Lo nasa hadayin, because the Oel, which was actually part of the Mishkan, had not yet been built. Right, they were building it. They were in the process of building it. So where'd they bring it? Here the pasuk says El Oel Moed. V'saru mitavat ze haolam, v'natnu marotehem nidava. So Ramban points out another thing, that they gave the mirrors as a donation. ובאות בכל יום ויום אל פתח אוהל מועד להתפלל ולשמוע דברי המצוות. And these same women came to the Oel Moed every day to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu teach Torah. So it was different. It was the whole story of the Marot HaTzovot is not only about the fact that these mirrors were used in Mitzrayim to produce a proper result, but these mirrors now were donated on a daily basis to the Mishkan, and the women who donated came to listen to the Sheurim that Moshe Rabbeinu gave in Torah. V'yitachein ol shenemar b'derech ha'pshat she'asa kiyor v'kano mimar'ot ha'nashim asher ba'u mehem tzava gadol v'nesu el ohel mo'ed latet marotem v'nidvat liban, their hearts. In other words, the emphasis is not on what the marot were once used for, but it was, the emphasis is rather on how they gave it, that they all came together, they gave it with a full heart, and they wanted this to actually be recorded. V'ya nechoshet hamarot, nechoshet kalal b'morat v'yafeh ma'od. This was very finely cleaned and shined up, and if they're all, it was used as a mirror. V'al kein yiched oto mitchila lekli hazeh. And so there's a reason in pshat that this was used for the kiyor. There was the Ramban. The Ramban has this kind of interest in pshat for whatever reason, and he thinks that Rashi's interpretation, which is based on the Tanchuma, is a little bit far-fetched. And he said that the Marota, the reason that the Marota Tzovot are spoken about in a distinct manner, is because it caused all the women to come together and to make the donation together every day and listen to Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Torah, right? V'gam nachon hu shiitkavnu v'kach mitchila mipnei inyan hasota v'ein kiblu kein aleihem b'simcha v'itnadvu latet bo kol marotehem. So that the Ramban's emphasis here is on the giving, and not on what the Marot HaTzovot, what purpose it served in the past. So you have these the position of the Ramban against the position of Rashi. Against the position of Rashi. Rashi seems to say Marot HaTzovot were donated specifically because of the history that they had, because of what happened in Mitzrayim, because of the fact that the women decided to have children and reminded us of the way Moshe Rabbeinu was born after his parents separated because they didn't want to have any more children, and then they remarried and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So that that's according to Rashi. According to Ramban, the whole point was that the women as a group, as women, since there was a call for Marot HaTzovot, and the ones who had the Marot HaTzovot were women, that they had an opportunity, even though they had an opportunity to donate generally, right? They donated jewelry. But when the jewelry was integrated into the Mishkan, it didn't say women. Women donated. There was a, so the Ramban says this gave the women an opportunity to donate something that was uniquely a woman's donation. Because after all, the rechush, generally speaking, belonged to the men. Right, in the Torah setup. But the use of this rechush, when it comes to Maros HaTzovot, apparently belonged to the women. And the women were able in that way to determine a place for themselves in the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan. And that place, as you know, had two parts to it, right? As the Mishkan had two parts to it. The Mishkan, I think I mentioned it, right? One part of the Mishkan had to do with Korbanot, right? And that was, there were Korbanot that you had to give every day. And there were Korbanot that you gave from time to time. The second thing in the Mishkan was the Ohel Moed. And the Ohel Moed was the place where God communicated Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, who in turn communicated that Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So according to the Ramban, the women as women, as a community, not just as families or as part of a family, where they could donate jewelry, etc., which then would disappear into the general fund. But women as women could donate an item which belonged to them exclusively, Marot HaTzovot, and then that would go into the hardware of the Mishkan, right? The kiyor. That was a thing, right? An object that was necessary necessary for the korbanot. When the kohanim went to do the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, they had to wash themselves. The water was in the kiyor. The kiyor was the donation of the women, as women. And there was no doubt about it. You always knew that. You always remembered that it was the women who donated the kiyor as women, because the Marot HaTzovot belonged to them, irrespective of what the specific ownership might have been. And then they stayed and they learned Torah, which was the other aspect of Mishkan. Mishkan was the place where Moshe Rabbeinu learned the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So then the Torah, according to the Gemara, the Torah was taught again and again and again, same thing over again in the Midbar. And so the women were able to participate, because the Pasuk says, Asher Tzav'u Petach Ohel Moed, according to the Ramban. They were like a group, a crowd. They were a tzava. They were a crowd in front of Ohel Moed. What was going on in Ohel Moed? The Torah was being taught. So that the women were able, as women, as a community, to connect to these two aspects of the Mishkan, right? The carbon aspect, right? The sacrifices that were given, and the Torah that was taught. That's the opinion of the Ramban, which I think is interesting. Okay, have a good Shabbos.